Good to be here. It's good to still have freedom. Enough freedom, not all we had, but we still have retained some element of freedom to disseminate the truth as much as we can until that is taken away from us. Father, bless your word, bless the study of the word. Even so, come, Lord Jesus, come. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right. Now, if you have your Bibles this morning, I'd like for you to turn to me the book of Isaiah, chapter number 14, and verse number 12. Isaiah 14, 12. We're going to launch out into the deep. Isaiah 14, 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I will ascend above the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, Is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Now, as studying this text, you'll go back and you'll say in verse number 4 of Isaiah chapter number 14, take up this proverb against the king of Babylon. And of course, what you have here is a earthly ruler being addressed, but in a much higher plane than any human being could ever fit. No man on the face of this earth could ever meet the qualifications that you find in Isaiah chapter number 14. This is why the Christian church has for ages believed that the greater context of Isaiah 14 is a reference to the devil, Satan, or Lucifer. We're going to talk about all three of them in just a moment. It's very important to understand what's going on here. If you have a Hebrew Bible, the Hebrew word translated Lucifer is Halel, which means bright one or shining one. The word Lucifer is not in the Hebrew Bible, all right? Say, why not? Because it didn't exist when Hebrew was written. Hebrew is ancient. And the word Lucifer is a Latin word that was used to translate the Hebrew word Halel. In other words, when they wrote the text in Hebrew, the text does not say Lucifer, it says Halel. But a translation of it is the bright one. And so in Latin, the word Lucifer means the bright one or the light bearer or the shining one. Now, having said that, that's not to get you off course, but it's to help you understand, when you're studying the Bible, how things happen in Scripture. For example, if the word that is used here as Lucifer, and if I see that word in the text, do I say to myself, well, good night then. The Bible, the King James translators, have added something to the text that's not in there, because this word Lucifer is a Latin word that has been put into the text. But that's not the only time that you'll find things like that in the Bible. The main thing to understand is that it is a translation of the Hebrew word Halel. Because if I had just taken the Hebrew word, for example, Hillel is the name of a man who was one of the Hebrew sages, one of the great rabbis of his day, Hillel. A teacher, and that is directly connected with Halel, which is the shining one, a bright one. If I had taken that and put it into the Bible, or just simply taken the word Halel and transliterated it over into English letters, would you know what it meant? No, you'd have to look it up. And so what happens here is that they take a name, and they put that name in here. And there's a reason for them doing that. It's like over there in the book of Acts, chapter number 4 or 5, somewhere along in there, where the Bible's talking about Herod after Easter. You remember that one? Easter is in your New Testament? All right. Well, the Greek word is Pascha. Pascha. All right. So, well, then, preacher, how in the world do they get Easter from Pascha? Well, two things. Pascha, Passover, falls at Easter time. Number two, Herod was a pagan, and so therefore he would be recognizing Ishtar. He would be observing Easter, and so therefore the King James translators put that text in there so you'd understand this is the context of what it's talking about in the book of Acts, and so it is here in Isaiah. Now, let me go a little step further, because I've put quite a bit of time in this, and I want to get this part settled before we can move along further into the text. Lucifer is a name, all right? Devil is not a name. Satan is a name, but it's used both in the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the word Satan shows up in the Hebrew text just exactly as you say it. Satan, or Satan. And it's translated as adversary, to hinder, to stop. The word literally means someone who gets in the way of or tries to alter or divert. That's a Satan. And so the Lord Jesus confronted Satan in the New Testament. All right? He confronted Satan. Now, there's a reason for these different names for the same creature. And we'll get into that later. But this same creature is also called devil. The Apostle Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil. That comes from the Greek word diabolos. That word comes from the basic Greek word diabolo, which means to accuse. A devil is an accuser. That's his basic meaning of the word devil. He is one who accuses. He brings accusations against. All right, now we're still talking about the same creature. Lucifer, Satan, and the devil. Now, it's important to understand that when we get into this lesson today, and I begin to show you how that name can be used, that it is used interchangeably in the world, in the occult world, but they use it in a far different way than the Bible uses it. The Bible uses the term devil, Satan, and Lucifer to refer to the same creature. Same one. There's no confusion whatsoever. But in the occult world, the name Lucifer is a very powerful name. Very powerful. And they identify themselves with that name Lucifer. And you would be amazed at the groups that identify themselves with the name Lucifer. Because it means light bearer. Now you go back a little bit of history, and I'll give you this for just a moment. The bright and morning star, or the morning star, there is a planet in the heavens that is called the morning star. It's Venus. This planet, oddly enough, shows up in the sky right before the rising of the sun. And it is the brightest object in the sky outside of the sun itself. The brightest. Far brighter than any stars that are out there, yet it's a planet. And Venus was considered by the Romans, who is where Latin comes from, Venus was considered by them to be the morning star. All right? And Lucifer means the same thing to the Latin or to the Roman. It means morning, brightness, the coming star. So, when it's used in Isaiah chapter number 14, the King James translators put that word in there because it has a direct reference to one who was considered by the Romans to be the morning star. And they called him the son of the morning. You can get confused if you're not careful because he is so closely connected with the Lord Jesus who said, I am the bright and morning star. He said that of himself in the book of Revelation. As a matter of fact, there is a closeness. There is a connectivity. There's something there that is so close between the true light and the false light, between Christ and the Antichrist, between the real Jesus and the false Jesus, that it takes the Holy Spirit to discern between the two. You've got to be very, very careful. Everything on its surface may appear to be one thing, but that's not necessarily what you're getting. So when it says in Isaiah chapter number 14, verse number 12, Lucifer, that is no reference to the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes no difference how many Bible dictionaries today have reworded it and changed it to try to confuse the issue. There is no confusion in a Bible. The confusion comes when people with dictionaries and so forth try to say, well, they both mean the same thing, have a common source, blah, 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 blah. They may have in the minds of a pagan world who do not know the difference. But in the Word of God, there is a vast difference between the two of them. This is why people like Albert Pike and the author of the Zohar, which is the book of the Kabbalah. And I told you before, last week or the week before in Sunday school, how that the Apostle Paul said, I profited in the Jews' religion. I told you how that the Jews' religion is based on the Babylonian Talmud. Babylon in Scripture is the seat of idolatry. All right? It is the source corruption of the truth. Babylon has a strange way or a gift of being able to pervert and distort what is true before your very eyes and cause you to believe a lie. That's Babylon. That's where Babylon operates. And God judges Babylon in the book of Revelation and says, Babylon has fallen. Now, when you get into this business of Lucifer and you begin to study Lucifer, you'll find out, as I said to you a moment ago, that some connect him with they say, well, there's really no difference between Lucifer and the Lord Jesus Christ. They're both the same. It just depends on how you receive him. And you get all kinds of different takes on that scripture. You've got to be very careful when you start dealing with these people and see what they have to say. Now, I'm going to go back to scholarship, and I want to read to you what scholarship has to say about Lucifer. This is from the Jewish Encyclopedia, 1906. Kaufman Kohler is the author of this piece. He uses the word myth 5 times in this short article. He refers back to the Septuagint translation of Hillel, which is the Hebrew word, Ben Shahar, or the brilliant one, son of the morning, name of the day, or morning star, to whose mythical fate that of the king of Babylon is compared in the prophetic vision. He calls it a myth. Scholarship says that this is all mythological, based on mythology. He goes on down further and says, the Lucifer myth was transferred to Satan in the pre-Christian century, as may be learned from blah, 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 blah. On and on and on it goes. So what's he saying? I only extracted a small portion to show you how that so-called scholarship says that Lucifer, the devil, Satan, is a myth. And that the Jews never really believed that there was a devil anyway. And that therefore all of this stuff about a devil and about a Satan and about Lucifer and all of that is just a bunch of ignorant mythology. All right, he dismisses it all by saying that. Now, you can be certain that I could go to a lot of other sources of scholarship, so forth, but I'm not going to do it for the sake of time. There's a lot of people out there who believe otherwise about Lucifer, and I'm going to give you what they say. Here's what some of them teach about Lucifer. This is from Blavatsky, Theosophy. She says, we are about to found a magazine of our own. And the title of the magazine was Lucifer. This was published in the 1800s. That was the title of the magazine. Came out every month. Lucifer. Don't allow yourself to be frightened. It's not the devil. Into which the Catholics have falsified the name of the morning star. Sacred to all the ancient world of the bringer of light. Phosphorus is the Greek word. You know what phosphorus is. That means light. As the Romans often call the mother of God and Christ. And in St. John's Revelation, does it not say, I, Jesus, the morning star? Notice the confusion now. Notice the confusion. Notice the connection. I wish people would take this to mind at least. It is possible that the rebellious angel was called Lucifer before his fall, but after his transformation, he must not be called so. Open your columns to free and fearless discussion and do as the Theosophical periodicals have ever done and as Lucifer is now preparing to do. The bright sun of the morning fears no light. Here we go. He courts it and is prepared to publish any inimical contributions, couched, of course, in decent language. However much at variance with his theosophical views, he is determined to give a fair hearing in any and every case to both contending parties and allow things and thoughts to be judged on their respective merits, for why or what should one dread when fact and truth are one's only aim? Here's what all that said. It said that Lucifer is the father of light and the source of truth and the source of light. And that when he was so-called cast out of heaven, that was only a progression of what Creator made him into what he is now because of what he has learned. And that he can lead you into light and into the truth. And that you'll never get the truth and you'll never get light any other way except through Lucifer. That's what Helen Blavatsky said. You said, well, she's dead and gone. That's 100 years ago. Oh, no, don't be so quick. No, sirree. Words are powerful things. She may be gone, but what she says about Lucifer is not gone. It's grown. It's much bigger now than it ever has been. And Lucifer is the light bearer, son of the morning or the morning star, according to these people. Who called himself the bright and morning star? Who called himself that? The Lord Jesus did. The Lord Jesus said, I am the bright and morning star. The Apostle Paul called him the day spring. All right? These people call Lucifer the bright, or they call him the morning star, don't they? I've just read that to you. So which one is? Now, I've quoted from this thing a lot. But I want to take you back to it again this morning because I've got it in my hand. And the reason I brought it in here this morning is because of what I got into when I tried to research this and find out what's going on in the Masonic Lodge between Masonry and Luciferianism. Is the Masonic Lodge connected with Luciferianism? Is it the source of light? Do they consider Lucifer the source of light? All right, some folks say yes, some folks say no. All right, here is a web page that is an apologist. He's arguing for the Masonic Lodge. And he says, quote, Freemasonry teaches its members tolerance, even of its assailants. If you are presented with a story of Pike and Lucifer, quietly but firmly state it's a lie. Don't let it pass without comment, but don't provoke an argument. The truth is on our side. Okay? That's what's called rhetoric. He implies something that's not true, but he wants you to understand that if you don't agree with him, you've denied the truth. That's the way this operates. They throw words out there like, well, good night, this man's bound to have the truth, or he wouldn't say the truth is on his side, right? All right, here's what he just said. He just said that Albert Pike never taught that were never connected Masonry with Lucifer. That's what he said. All right? This is what this man said on his website. Now, it's sad, but I'm going to show you what's connected with this. This is the morals and dogma, southern jurisdiction of the Masonic Lodge. This is not secondhand hearsay. This is the book. And on the inside page, it says, this book belongs to Charles Lawson, 82395. Please return to same. If you want it, somebody borrows this thing, I want it back. All right. Here's Albert Pike. All right. He's the only Confederate officer that has a place of honor and position in Washington, D.C. And where he is honored in position in Washington, D.C. is in the Grand Lodge that is above every lodge. It is the greatest of all the Masonic lodges in Washington, D.C. He's the Grand Master. Don't let anybody kid you. When this man speaks, he speaks with authority. All right, he's not just somebody's voice. This man speaks with authority. I read the preface to this thing, went through everything it had to say about it, and it is to be read, it is to be used in the lodges all over North America, Indiana, Ohio, Tennessee, wherever. And it says on the preface, the following work has been prepared by authority of the Supreme Council, 33rd degree for the Southern Jurisdiction, United States, by the Grand Commander, is now published by its direction. It contains the lecture of the ancient accepted Scottish Rite, in that jurisdiction specially intended to be read, studied by the brethren in obedience in connection with the rituals of the degrees. On and on and on it goes. And so it is definitely an official document of the Masonic Lodge. On page 104, and I made these notes long ago. This is old and yellowed. On page 104 of Morals and Dogma, here's what he says. Quote, "Masonry, like all the religions, all the mysteries, hermeticism, and alchemy, conceals its secrets from all except the adepts and sages or the elect, because it's a mystery religion, and uses false explanations and misinterpretations of its symbols to mislead those who deserve only to be misled. To conceal, is that arrogance? You know how to spell arrogance? To conceal the truth, which it calls light, from them, and to draw them away from it. Truth is not for those who are unworthy or unable to receive it, or would pervert it. So God Himself incapacitates many men by color blindness to distinguish colors and leads the masses away from the highest truth, giving them the power to attain only so much of it as is profitable to them to know. Every age has had a religion suited to its capacity." Boy, that is seething with elitist arrogance. Go on. "The teachers, even of Christianity, are in general the most ignorant of the true meaning of that which they teach. There is no book of which is so little known as the Bible. To most who read it, it is as incomprehensible as the Sohar." What's the Sohar? That is the book of Kabbalists, or the Kabbalism, or the Kabbalah wing or group in the Jewish that came from the Jewish religion. All right, the Sohar. "So Masonry jealously conceals its secrets and intentionally leads conceited interpreters away." Conceit? You kidding me, son? You redefined the word conceit. Conceited astray. All right. Now, what's all that mean? That means that it makes a difference what he says to you face to face. He's telling you what he wants you to hear, and he doesn't care. And, you know, as far as he's concerned, you're not worthy to get the truth. That's what that means. Have you ever read anything like that in the Bible? No, you haven't. But continue on. Let's go to Lucifer. Page 321, first full paragraph. So let's go to page 321, first full paragraph, Morals and Dogma of the Ancient and Accepted Scottish Rite. Quote, "Lucifer, the light bearer, strange and mysterious name to give to the spirit of darkness. Lucifer, the son of the morning. Is it he who bears the light?" Now watch carefully his wording. "Is it he who bears the light?" All right. He asks a question, then answers it, but makes an accusation in the answer. Watch this. "Is it he who bears the light? And with its splendors, intolerable, blinds, feeble, sensual, or selfish souls?" In plain words, he bears the light, which is so bright that if you are one of these sensual and selfish souls, it'll only blind you. You'll never see the truth. You have to be elevated to the place that Pike is talking about. for you to be able to even understand and receive the great light that Lucifer has to give to you. Because you are one of the groveling masses. And that's exactly the way he sees you. You're nothing but a useless eater. That's what the one said that started Planned Parenthood, Margaret Sanger. She said, "You're useless eaters. You're breeders. You're not fit to live." This is exactly how the elite feel when they say that the population of the earth must be reduced down. They say that, what was it, last week, next week, last month, next month, somewhere in here, the 7 billionth person is going to be born. Last week, 7,000 million people on this earth. And what they're doing is feeding your mind with the idea there's too many. It's not sustainable. The green movement is all about sustainability. There's even a document presented by the UN about sustainability. Sustainability. You're going to hear a lot of, you're already hearing it. You're already hearing it on TVs and the commercials. Sustainable. 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 They're selling cars now. Sustainable. Sustainable. What they're doing is controlling and creating and fashioning your mind. The idea is that the earth can only support so much and useless breeders and eaters have to go. And when the book of Revelation talks about whole continents being wiped out and a third of the population of the earth dying and all of that, who do you think they're dying at? At whose hand? They're going to kill them. They're going to kill them. But anyway, now watch this. Watch this. Watch this arrogance. Is it he? He asked the question. Doubt it not. For traditions are full of divine revelations and inspirations. And inspiration is not of one age, nor of one creed. So, son, get off the internet. If you're going to get on there and try to support Freemasonry by saying it's a lie, if you try to connect Pike with Lucifer, you're doing it. No, the only thing he's doing is making a fool out of himself. But now, hold on a minute. I ask myself this question. Could it be that this is a zealot Mason, full of zeal, of the lower degrees, the lower orders, and that in his mind he's been taught that to become a Mason makes him a better Christian? Have you ever heard that? I heard that a long time ago. That's the most blasphemous, arrogant thing that anybody would ever say to you, that to become a Mason makes you a better Christian. Think about it for a moment. Just think about it for a moment. Yes, sir. He gave you that? And did he give it to you as an authority? I mean, does he agree with what he gave you? I mean, he agrees with this. Well, here's the book. Folks, this is Albert Pike's book. You know, these are his own words. I'm not putting words in his mouth. That's the book. And the thing about the book is that you can take, I'll say this, I haven't checked it out, but I'll say it. I say you probably find any copy of Morals and Dogma that exists on the face of the earth, they'll all say the same thing. You see what I mean? In other words, this is not a redaction. This is not an interpolation. This is not me changing anything or something that was reprinted by some group to try to make him look bad. This is the book. This is their book. And he says plainly that Lucifer. Now, where did he get that from? Next Sunday, Lord willing, I'm going to take you into the Roman Catholic Church, and I'm going to show you the connection between the Roman Catholic Church and this. Now, have you ever heard that Catholics absolutely forbid their parishioners from becoming Masons? Oh, yeah. That's for the masses. That's for the useless eaters. That's for the breeders. That's for public consumption. That has nothing to do with reality. Right. Have you ever heard of the Black Pope? You know who he is? I don't know his name right now, but do you know who I'm talking about? His office? You know who he is? has nothing to do with the color of his skin. We're not in here talking about the race of people. Let's not run somebody's race down. Black Pope has nothing to do with somebody's skin. It has to do with an office he holds. And he's referred to as that. He is the general secretary or the council or whatever he is. He's the highest office in the Jesuit branch of the Roman Catholic Church. I think he's called the Jesuit general. Ignatius Loyola, back in the time of the Reformation, when men like Savonarola and Martin Luther and John Huss and men like that began to preach salvation by grace through faith, and no indulgences, no church indulgences, no prayers for the saints, no praying out of purgatory. They began to preach this, and a reformation began to take place, and people started leaving the Roman Catholic Church. How many's ever heard the Council of Trent, 1546? Oh, good. A lot of you have, then. The Council of Trent in 1546 was held for the sole purpose of condemning to hellfire the Protestant Reformation. It was to condemn to hellfire everyone who would not acknowledge the supremacy of the Bishop of Rome, that's what he's called, the Pope, and the authority of the Mother Church, and that if they were therefore branded as heretics, and they were condemned to hell forever. The Council of Trent was held in 1546 for that purpose. The Roman Catholic Church came out with a new Bible. They came out with a Douay Rheims, which was the translation of the Old Latin into their Bible to counter the Reformation Bible of 1611, which started with the Bishop's Bible, Tyndale's Bible, the Great Bible, and all of these books, which led up to 1611, the King James Bible. This book right here. Folks, if they only knew the history of these books right here, what brought us to where we are today, it changed their thinking about a lot of things. The King James Bible came out of blood and fire. It came out of blood and fire. This book right here came out of the Protestant Reformation. This book right here was the very foundation basis for those who turned against Rome, because this book was the book precious to them, very precious, because it was the King James Bible. It didn't read like their Bible. There's called in the Roman Catholic Church, I forget the name of it. I haven't seen it in a long time. It's something about their books. What's it called? That's a word they use. What's the collection of books that they call? Anyway, they have a term that they put on the front of a book or on a list of books, and it is nihil obstat. That's Latin for nothing objectionable. What that means is that they have for centuries. You know, how many's ever heard about book burnings? You remember Nazi Germany back there in World War II? They were burning books. And you know, the liberal media and the press, they make a big deal about book burnings and blah, blah, blah. Well, the Catholic Church had their own book burnings, but it was a different way. They imprinted nihil obstat, which means nothing objectionable. In plainer words, if this book is allowed to be read by parishioners in the Catholic Church, it will have nihil obstat on it. And if it doesn't have it, you better not be caught with it, because you don't need to be reading it. That's what they did then, and I don't know that that's ever been lifted. They told you what you could read and what you couldn't read. Guess which book was listed as blackballed? The King James Bible. It's written right in there. Don't read that thing. You leave that book alone. You come back to your Bible. Now, of course, today it doesn't make any difference. There's so much junk out there. They don't know which the average Christian doesn't have a clue what's coming down the road. They think one Bible's as good as the other as long as it says a few words and says something about God and angels and Jesus. Well, you know, it doesn't make any difference. But the King James Bible is anti-Catholic and pro-Reformation and it is anti-Lucifer, anti-Satan, and anti-devil. So we got to stick with the King James Bible. We can't get out of it. We got to stay with it. There's a reason for that. They dug one man up that had been dead for years. They dug him up and burned him at a stake. Dug him up, burned him at a stake. I believe it was Tyndale. It was either Tyndale or was it Tyndale? They dug him up. They dug Tyndale up And you can get Tyndale's translation. I think I might have a copy of it in my office back there. And verbatim, almost word for word, is the same as the King James Bible. Of course, it was done by one man. But what they did, you can see where it runs close, so close, because it's coming from the same manuscripts. It's coming from the Textus Receptus. Which, of course, too, the Textus Receptus is on that list of forbidden books. And on it goes. All right, now, why would a man do this? Why would a Mason have a website that makes him look like a fool? When anybody can take a book and say, son, somebody needs to help you out. Right here is what Pike said. He connected your religion. Did he not say it was a religion? With Lucifer. Now tell me something, Christian. You go into a lodge and you go in. I don't know what you do in there. Don't know, don't care, don't ever care. But you go in there and you start digging around. And if you're smart, you'll find out who you are worshiping. You'll find out what it's all about. You'll find out what's going on in there. You'll find out about the oaths you're taking and the names you've been given. You'll begin to dig in there and say, well, does that name mean that to me or does it mean that to him? That says that to me, but does it say that to you? What do you believe about it? And then you get higher up in that thing, and the more higher you get in it, the more you realize it's not Jesus Christ you're interested in and worshiping. It's Lucifer. And here's something else that ought to raise an eyebrow. They have Muslim lodges. They have Christian lodges. They have Jewish lodges. They have, for whatever group that they represent, they have their sacred book. If it's a Christian lodge, like it is here in the United States, they'll have a Bible.
Lenin, who started the Soviet Union, who started communism, yeah. Lenin was a Mason.
They have an atheist Bible. All right, so what's that say to you? Next week I'm going to connect the Roman Catholic Church with the Masonic Lodge and the New World Order. And I'm going to show you how that what's going on in this world right now has been run from the top down by some very brilliant men, and the foundation of it has been laid for a long time, and their God is the devil. Amen. All right, let's talk about that for a moment. We got about 5 minutes. Why would they not want you to believe that Lucifer and the devil are the same? They have a reason for it, wouldn't you think? If you're a Luciferian, you worship Lucifer, would you be bothered if somebody said, well, you worship the devil? Right? Would that bother you? Of course it would. Why? Well, here's the thing. Devil is associated with evil, right? Satan is associated with evil. But Lucifer is associated with light and good and righteousness. There's the difference. There's a vast difference between the two. Light, goodness, and righteousness. And the devil, Satan worship, is for those who are crude and lewd and filthy and fleshly and earthly and ignorant. That's devil worship, that's Satan worship. Like the Church of Satan, Anton LaVey and all of that. These people do not believe that the devil even exists. They believe that Lucifer is the true God and the true light, just like Albert Pike said. The Pope said just a few years back, not the one that's in there right now, but the one who has preceded him. He said that Adam and Eve were a myth. In plain words, the first 5 chapters of the book of Genesis is essentially a myth. What is a myth? Somebody tell me what a myth is this morning. What's a myth? Pardon? It has no basis in fact, right? It's a creation. It's a fabrication. It's a lie, in other words. that's been made to believe. All right? So if you believe that Adam and Eve really lived, then you believe a lie. Okay? Now, when they come out and make statements like that to you, does it bother you? If I were a Catholic, it'd bother me. If I were a Catholic, it would bother me if I believed anything about the Bible. Why would they not want you to believe that Adam and Eve really lived? It does authority, but it also has to do with where you came from. Why would they want to challenge in your mind where you came from?
The emerging church accepts evolution as the fact.
A lot of them do. And the Roman Catholic Church accepts evolution. Their official position is that man evolved. Now you're getting into something that definitely has a direction. All right? Why would they want you to think that you evolved? Exactly. There's biological evolution, spiritual evolution. There is cultural evolution. The culture that you're living in right now, that is a fact. It has evolved. In the few short years I've been on this earth, I have watched this culture evolve. It is a seething septic tank. Yes, sir. Right. Right. And this thing about the stars, what did you just say? Now, what is Lucifer called? Yeah. The star. Right. That's their God. That's their God. The star. The star God. That's why the Lord rebuked them. He said, the star of your God, Remphan. Star God. The star God. The star God.
That's strange because evolution just picked up the theory of we were planted by extraterrestrials.
Yeah, and they all don't buy it, but a lot do.
Yeah, Richard Dawkins.
Dawkins is saying that, isn't he? And they listen to him. He's the fellow in the wheelchair.
No.
That's not the one?
No, Richard Dawkins is the head of the Four Horsemen of the New Atheist movement.
Oh, okay.
Hawking.
Hawking is the one in the wheelchair. Absolutely. And so where did it come from?
It's important to notice that this is a movement to a weaker position.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, DNA has torn up an awful lot of that, undoubtedly.
No doubt about it. I mean,
it has, definitely.
About 100 terabytes on a molecule 6 foot long is a little bit hard to explain.
And, you know, just the other day, they had a nano something, that went faster than the speed of light.
It's a quantum particle at the CERN, the Big Super Collider, or particle accelerator we built in Switzerland.
Yes. Right. 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 Right.
They were able to accelerate quantum particles, which are quantum particles make up atomic particles. So they make up protons, neutrons, electrons. So they're smaller than those. And so this is thrown out. So where they said that, okay, well, we can see a galaxy, you know, 100 million light years away.
Right.
So we know that 100 million years has passed. Well, see, that's thrown that out now.
Absolutely, because it's. Exactly. It may not be as far away. And
the common assumption is the speed of light is constant and has always been constant.
Right. All things continue as they were from the creation, Peter talks about. So the bottom line is, it throws out Einstein's theory of relativity, which is the Bible of the evolutionist. Yes.
So, we now know that his assumption that speed light being the speed limit of the universe and constant is now incorrect.
All right, boy.
Rose, they did turn around and print a retraction of that, make an announcement. They said that the satellites they used to measure the speed that those particles traveled at were out of calibration.
Yeah, but they did it thousands of times. I read the article on that. Thousands of times they made that same thing, and it worked. Now they're coming out. They're under pressure. That's what that's about.
Well, I mean,
yeah. Yeah. Bottom line is that the Bible's right, and Lucifer is their God, and Lucifer's that star up there. Do you see the connection? Sure, it'll continue on too. We'll continue on with it. Brother Valance dismisses, please.